this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? What a win. My game of the season, I think, thus far. Romelu Lukaku with two big goals. Pierre stepping up with a banger. Had everything you wanted. How you feeling, sir?
Dude, a thriller. You know, we had to wait to the end of the match to get the winner. Defense, a little porous, sir.
As usual.
But, hey, we had big players step up, like Big Luke and Andres, the manager, Ole. The streak is alive, unbeaten, sir, at the helm. How good does it feel? Always at the wheel.
Dude, the league is, you know, within reach. Third place is, like, right in our grasp, 3 points away from Spurs. After they draw on the weekend, Liverpool drew. Pretty good weekend, sir. Happy with the result. Big Luke steps up, right? Rashford has been scoring. And Luke, you know, didn't score in the first half. Had a couple chances to do in the first 5 minutes, but came up with two go-ahead goals in the second half. So, huge performance from him. And then Pierre got to play as 10 after the Sanchez injury. And that was, I think that changed the game with Delo coming in. So, it was a fun game, bro. It was a really fun game.
Still buzzing. A lot of match breakdown. Of course, we're talking about Manchester United 3, Southampton 2 at Old Trafford, sir. The place was rocking when we kicked off, but it would surely get quiet real quick here. Before we get into the match, let's talk about the lineup. We had Shaw, Lindelof, Smalling, and Young. Pretty standard. Pogba, McTominay, and Pereira midfield. I did call for Pereira to come in instead of Fred. He looked a little rusty. I said, look, Pereira's not... he's not quite Herrera, but he'll do a job. He's had more game time than Fred, so let's get the fresh youngster in there. Sanchez playing in the hole with Lukaku and Rashford in the 4-3-1-2. When you saw this lineup, what did you think?
Sure, I thought this was a good lineup. You know, I think Pierre coming back in is the good move because we just played a game 3 days ago, and this is probably the best team you have available given the injuries. So I thought you got to be able to do the job against Southampton, relegation fight Southampton at home. We haven't had the best record at home under Ole, considering how good of a record he's had. So,
we hadn't scored in two matches at home.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm alluding to, sir.
The home fans, I mean, we were there for PSG. I mean, the home fans kind of let down by the team. They've been doing all the business away. So, I mean, I was feeling confident in this lineup. I did like Pereira. I was hoping Sanchez would come off for us. We shall get into that. First half, United start on the front foot, and they come close to taking the lead inside 3 minutes. An early chance, per the usual. The question is, do we finish him? And it looks like Paul Pogba's pass deflects into the path of Romelu Lukaku, who gets a low shot away. I mean, this should have been a goal on his left foot. I mean, good save by the Saints keeper, though.
Good save from the Saints keeper. And then a couple of minutes later, I think from a corner, the ball kind of bundled right in front of Lukaku, and Gunn somehow got another save in. So two really good chances in the opening 5 minutes. And that has been an Ole constant, right? We seem to get some really good chances, not necessarily always take them, and that'll dictate how a game goes.
No, absolutely. And, like, we're seeing a lot of chances. And this is different than the Crystal Palace match or the Liverpool match. We were creating chances in the box, getting the ball to Lukaku in dangerous areas. He did score a brace, sir, Crystal Palace away. So, you know, get the man the ball. In the 11th minute, Southampton with a chance. Vestergaard, the big Viking at the back for them. I actually rated Vestergaard. He looks like a unit. Looks like he can play probably 18 million, 22 million pounds. Why don't you take an option, sir?
Have a go, sir. He's certainly big.
He's a poor man's Kalidou Koulibaly.
He might be a poor man's Lindelof, but he, I don't know. Those two
he's
together
big,
would be like,
dude,
a Viking crew.
6'5", 6'4".
Massive forehead.
Yeah, so, I mean, he made Pogba look small on the pitch, so... Eddie, if you're listening, that might be an option to go forward. 14th minute, United get away with a penalty shout as Smalling pulls down Redmond by the shirt. This was cheeky from Smalling.
He's going to be in trouble next year, sir. VAR. I mean, we need to get another center back just because we can't start Smalling because he'll be giving away penalties left, right, and center with all his shirt tugging.
Yeah, and that was out of view of the ref. Real cheeky stuff from Smalling. He probably practices that one in training. Either way, no call is always the way to go in a nil-nil game. You can't be giving penalties in the 14th minute. 25th minute.
Austin for Valerie with a bit of space to line one up and score an absolute cracker. Southampton are digging in the relegation scrap. and have Manchester United on the back foot at Old Trafford. What a hit from Valerie.
Well, we saw a glorious goal at Newcastle the other night. This is just as good. He catches this so well.
So a game full of bangers, and here's the first of the day, man. It's got to be something special to beat David Gea from that distance. And, you know, you could look at it the first time and think maybe Dave could have done more, but the way that thing was moving, that's a banger, sir.
Hell of a strike. He was out on his lonesome there on the right-hand side of the pitch. Paul Pogba, nowhere to be found on the defensive responsibility there. I mean, it was kind of to slate Pogba for that, you know, that'd be harsh, right? You know, it was kind of switched off. It was a banger, like you said, 25 yards out, and, you know, Valeri, great strike for Southampton, puts us back, but hey, it's only the 25th minute. Given the chances we already had, we didn't convert. I actually thought we were going to do well. Rashford, Lukaku on that pitch, someone's going to get good, right, sir?
You knew it wasn't going to be the only goal of the game. We had good chances at the beginning. It's all about getting more of those chances and making the most of them, and we knew we'd get more, sir, and we did.
38th minute, United get closer at the end of the half. Rashford keeps the ball alive, and Smalling nearly bundles it over the line. Smalling involved in a few set pieces here. Smalling showing his offensive side that a lot of people don't see. Something we've missed. He's always involved in one big chance in a game offensively. I think Smalling adding value, not going back, but also going forward as well.
It's usually with his head too, right? I mean, we saw that in a goal in the game before against Palace where he dinged it. Either him or Lindelof right to Lukaku with that turn and his Zlatan dunk finish. And we saw it again today in this play, which is just like using his head to kind of get it across net and see if Lukaku can get a head on it or Rashford drops to him.
Yeah, went wide. It was kept in. Ping pong stuff again. You know, close chances for United in the Southampton. But first half, no goals. Down a goal at home. Ole's going to be slating the boys, right? What is he saying at halftime?
Sanchez, you better be running. Let's play quicker. Sanchez. I think we got to play a higher press. You know, that's always a big dictator of success for us. And I think we got a little bit lazy in the middle part of the first half. So I think he would say, keep pressing up to them. They'll give the ball over, and then we run at them with pace because we got Luke and we got Rashford. So
and Paul P. I think Paul P. Pogba seemed a little MIA in the first half. I think that was part of it. Pierre, a Roman forward. Pogba maybe sitting a little farther back. That's kind of what we saw under Mourinho, him not involved in the match. And again, first half, not a lot was coming off for Paul Pogba.
That's true. And then he was switched into a defensive position. I think he played like a CDM role with McTominay once the injury happened that we'll talk about at the beginning of the second half, which is Sanchez. But he was a little absent in the first half. I think that was partly because they had a five-man midfield, and they might have been, you know, that's the tactic, is you shut down Pogba, this team isn't as good.
And plus, he's been hot, right? And when you're hot, you're going to go cold. That's just the way the universe works, sir. Let's jump in the second half. Like you said, injury. Sanchez down. It was a play in the box. Kind of got his leg clipped. Looked like his knee might have rotated. He goes down, but the cheeky thing was United wouldn't play the ball out of bounds for Sanchez. Sanchez goes down all the time as
you
United
can
fan.
Tell.
You can rate that. Can't tell if he's really hurt or not. But this one, that'd be it for Alexis Sanchez. Thought this was a big blow to this side. I actually thought, hey, Sanchez is off the field. Pogba's kind of out of it.
What's that going to mean for us, right?
And exactly.
I could have read it the same way, and I think we did. And then all of a sudden, Delo comes in.
You're like, Delo's a winger.
What's he
going to
do? What's he going to do? Back. Right? You know? But all of a sudden, he looks pretty good as a winger playing as an attacking position, because the one thing our team has needed for years is a good crosser. And he can put a cross in on pace, and that's what Big Ram, that big forehead, needs, sir. So once he came in, and then Piera shifted up the field, started playing as a 10, it was exactly what we needed, sir.
I mean, this is an indictment of Alexis Sanchez, right?
It certainly is.
And that's like one of the talking points about this match coming out of it is just like Sanchez goes off the field, United look lights out. What does that mean for Alexis Sanchez? And again, not a strong indictment for the Chilean. I would like for him to come off. I think he has the class. It's got to be mental for Sanchez. Maybe he's too focused on the gram, his dogs. Hard to say.
But he's lost. Maybe he's lost his hunger. He's lost something because it's not coming off. He's thinking too much. He's holding the ball too much, not playing quick enough, which is how Ole is trying to play. He's trying to play direct,
but I've
fast
seen
football.
The highlight. I watched on Twitter a highlight video of him at Arsenal. Unbelievable.
I think this is it, dude.
Quality.
You saw his injury? The injury looked like a serious injury. Ligament damage. I think he's done, dude.
He's going to be at United for a while, just clipping those coupons, like, sir, getting those
Jake
checks.
Jake Rodwell style, just collecting a check.
Like you said, 50th minute, Delo comes on for Alexis. United, another cursed United number 7, and then the 51st minute.
Delo, good touch, gets it back from Lukaku. This is Pereira, who takes on the strike himself. That is glorious. You simply don't save those. He found some space, he found a bit of time, and boy, did he find the net. 1-1.
Well, we've seen some quality goals this afternoon, and there's another important touch to get it under control from Dalot. Just a simple pass to Pereira. Everyone wanted him to play it to Luke Shaw, but no, he cuts inside, and look at the quality of the finish. The overlap is there, he cuts inside, and as well as he has been playing Angus Gunn, he can't get anywhere near that. It's an absolutely terrific equaliser, as good as Southampton's opening goal.
Unreal strike from the Brazilian Pereira. Stepping up to the plate, just have a go, son, in his locker all this time, at home, first goal. Andres Pereira, unbelievable.
Southampton had their banger in the first half. He takes his banger, and I raise your banger. Banger plus. Pereira, dude, I didn't know he had this in his kit. But good for him, showing confidence and just having a go. Catching his goalkeeper off the line and putting in a beauty of a strike. Goal of the season, sir.
I mean, what a hit. I thought he should have passed left. As soon as he pulled up, I was like, he's not going to hit this. He hits it curling, pace, everything you
want.
Woke
up the neighbors, sir. I'll tell you that. It was one of those hits that you just
everybody
get out of your seat and just roar.
We like jumped off the couch screaming our like, making a lot of racket. So this last time you were yelling at me for making a racket in your apartment now or in my apartment. Landlord ringing the doorbell, 8:20, ding, knocking on the door. The game's going on. I can't go get the doorbell, so my wife actually stepped up. She took the shellacking from the landlord, so I got a shout-out to my wife, Robin, who dealing with all the riffraff.
True champion of the pod. True champion of the pod. We appreciate it, Robin.
But again, it was 8:20 in the morning. It's like time to wake up.
It was 6 a.m. like Liverpool, sir. That was really early.
That was a riot. But this goal, I mean, this is everything you want to see at home. Big game down. Youngster steps up. And look, Pereira, you know, he could do it on the big stage. Now he's going to get the momentum. He's got minutes. He's made mistakes. He's coming back. And I really rate him to break through at Manchester United. What a breakthrough performance for Pereira.
I mean, you can just see it. See, when he scored that goal, it meant so much to him. I think this club means, you know, an unbelievable amount to him. Anyone that comes up through the academy system and is fighting for a spot, goes on loan, has a manager that doesn't rate him in Mourinho, and then I think, you know, Ole sees something. And I think the unlock is just, he said it after the match, man. He's like, he's not a 6, he's probably an 8 or a 10. Playing more advanced, playing the way he played at Valencia. And I think he can unlock teams. And he did actually again in the 58th minute for my boy, Big Rom, sir.
Yeah, no. And something switched in the youngster's mind where he can just actually put it on the field. I'm sure in training, there's a reason why Ole rates him. Like, yeah. We were discussing that during the match. Like, look, we don't get to see United's training. So there's a reason why Fred's not playing. There's a reason why he rates Pereira.
McTominay.
Right? And McTominay. So he's putting in the work day in, day out. The manager knows he's got it. Whether he can do it game time, Old Trafford, 70,000 plus, can you put it in the back of the net? And he decided, like, something clicked. He wasn't thinking about, you know, the nerves anymore. He just was playing his Brazilian-style football, which, you know, we could use a Brazilian. A few Brazilians at Manchester United. Neymar, where you at, bro?
We use a 10, bro. I mean, like, Paul could play a 10. You know, Lingard obviously is our go-to 10, but just having another option on the bench.
Right.
Another player you don't have to fill, right? Like Mata. He's got more pace than Mata, and
he'd be a great sub to bring on.
Exactly.
Make it dynamic.
Squad player.
Jesse kind of goes stale. Bring him on in the 62nd minute. That energy. I mean, you just really like the youngster. That Selly shows you what that goal means to him, what this team means to him. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer getting his but out of the seat, running onto the pitch, celebrating. I mean, this is what this team's about, and this is what Manchester United's about. This is something that Sir Alex Ferguson ingrained in this club, and like watching these kids break through. You know, we're seeing Pereira like working out some EPL minutes, and him hitting a goal like this in a game like this, unbelievable. 1-1, sir, but we didn't have to wait long to get the second in the 58th.
Lukaku, room for the shots! And he finds the corner! Manchester United have turned the game right around. A big goal from the big man, and suddenly Southampton have it all to do.
You've got to credit Pereira again. When this ball comes to him just outside the box, it looks as though he was fouled, but he managed to stay on his feet and find his teammate Lukaku. And then it's just his quality that makes the difference.
Your boy, sir. The floor is yours.
Sir, big Luke strikes again, and it wouldn't have been there without Pereira. What a setup. What an ability to stay on his feet and not go down and find the ball for Lukaku, who, to be honest, had everything to do, and we've wanted to see more of these goals, bro. Left to right, finisher's finish, and just like around the goalie, great goal, on his right foot again. Weaker finish, but hey, doesn't look like it. He's scoring like a man with confidence.
No, I mean, big Luke, on point. You give him the ball in the box these days, he's almost automatic these last two matches. And seeing him take a man on, beat a man, and score.
Great to see, right?
Every time. You're the Lukaku fan. And so I always said to you, we were even in London, I say, when was the last time you saw Lukaku take on a man and score? I mean, he did it at Everton. He's done it for United last season. And he's missing that hunger because Lukaku used to just bully by people, fake him, feign him, make him miss, and then put it in the back of the net with his left foot. Now he's doing it on his right. I mean, he's lights out.
I think this is him returning to his roots and having the, you know, he likes to have the ball played onto him. He likes to
get it, touches
have a little
in the
space,
box.
Catches on the box, dude. I think it's like he's getting his confidence back, showing a little of his in-form Everton days and how he used to play there. And I think he's just going to keep getting better and better under Ole. I think, dude, he's going to learn from the great striker of yore, you know,
exactly.
Who had a huge reputation at this club of being a really smart and thoughtful striker. So the good players are going to learn, suck it up like a sponge, and I think Rommel is doing that. He's already showing. He's getting better, bro.
Sir, we were riding high, 2-1. It's automatic. We were hunting for the third. Crowd behind the boys, I want to say in the early 60s. And then in the 75th minute, our hearts were broken.
The smart money would be on Ward-Prowse. And that is why. It's another stunning goal in this game, which pulls Southampton level again.
Well, we're being spoiled here with outstanding goals. David De Gea can't believe it. But the quality of the strike, he's about 25 yards out. I think players enjoy that. They can get a bit of pace on the ball. And Ward-Prowse has got the ability to get it up and over the wall.
I mean, you said it, sir. One banger, I raise you another banger, I'll raise you another banger. Ward-Prowse. I mean, I actually was thinking of him before we played Southampton. I was like, if anyone's going to come good, it's going to be Ward-Prowse. Unbelievable free kick. De Gea, again, I want to say, maybe half an inch away from his glove. Maybe on a better day he could have got it if he drank an extra espresso or something like this. But really quality strikes from Southampton. Relegation bound side, too.
It takes a banger to score to beat David De Gea, unless it's like a defensive just screw-up. Basically, that's how you beat him. And these were two from Southampton, unbelievable goal. I mean, just like perfect. Right where you got to put it in order to beat De Gea in the top corner. Got close. Close but no cigar, and then you got game on. But 15 minutes left, sir. Are you feeling confident?
I mean, I was feeling confident. I said, it's not a matter of if, it's when. Like, we're going to score. We have the better team out there. Ole has faith. I have faith. But it got pretty quiet. It got pretty quiet for us. Like, all of a sudden, I think before this Ward-Prowse goal, maybe in the 60 to 70 minutes, we were kind of coming at them. Looked like we were going to get that third. This goal really took the wind out of our sails. But I was like, look, we'll have some chances. We'll have some opportunities. And Lukaku's in form. You know, we have some players that can put it in the net, sir. 82nd minute, we had a sub Fred on for Pereira. I wasn't sure what Ole was thinking here.
No, it was a good sub. No, because Pereira was kind of fading in that last 10 minutes. He played great, but like by the 70th, he gave away the ball, I think, twice in a row, and he started looking a little.
Yeah, but did Fred inspire confidence that
he was
going to score?
Look, he was involved in a minute, sir.
You know, we can't foreshadow here. We're talking about as is.
Who hasn't seen the game?
Yeah, but when Fred came on, I was like, all right, we'll see, but I wasn't thinking he was going to add to the attacking play so much given his performance at Crystal Palace. And then, look, you know, this is why we're Manchester United fans. This is what we live for. We're battling top four. These 3 points mean everything to us. This is a statement game. If you want to be in top four, you want to win leagues, you got to win games like this. Dirty games at home.
Can't drop points against Southampton at home, right? When you have, dude, look at the way the fight is for the top four. I mean, it is tight. Bottom, it is tight. We have to just keep winning.
All American Red Devils out there, you guys listen, you watch these games week in, week out, and it's like, first Mourinho comes in.
Tail two seasons? What a game. What a season.
The tail two seasons.
It's unbelievable.
And then We get a manager, turns everything around. Now we have a chance at top four. So now we're getting our hopes back up. We're in the race. Now we're stressing about like getting Champions League football next season. So we didn't have time to think about it after we got rid of the old manager. Now we're in a top four race. This is a must win. This is a must win game. And we were sweating it because Old Trafford was quiet. But, sir,
it was quiet until it wasn't, sir. It was quiet until it wasn't.
Manchester United score. They always score in the 88th.
Fred. Lukaku! Manchester United find a way through and maybe find a way to win after a titanic battle.
Fergie time is alive and well at Old Trafford. I was here when they were two down against Burnley. They get two late goals and they found something here to go and win it. And it's Lukaku again, pouncing on a loose ball and having the accuracy to get it away from Gunn.
Sir. What a goal from Mr. Romelu Lukaku. Two go-ahead goals for the day. And you could tell how important it was when he ripped his shirt off. Knows the yellow card's coming, but doesn't matter because a winner, winner, chicken dinner, bro. This goal. I mean, Fred just puts a little ball out to Lukaku who runs onto it and then more on his right foot. He looks pretty good on his right foot these days. Doesn't look like he has a weak foot at the moment. And curls past the goalie for a great goal, bro. Old Trafford erupts. Love it.
He's been working on that finishing. Ole said it in training. And look, I got to get something off my chest.
Let's hear it. What do you got?
I mean, Alex is the number one Lukaku fan.
Wore the jersey because I knew he'd have to show up. So, we needed a big game from him.
So, you know, I've been kind of harsh on Lukaku. And mostly it's
and
been
his cursed jersey. You did refer to it as a cursed jersey two games ago.
Look, he's had a tough ride this year. He's had a tough ride this year. And anyone who has a tough ride like Lukaku, I think there's always a beta for players. Sometimes players get more stick than they deserve. Some get less. Pogba probably gets less than he deserves. Lukaku probably gets more than he deserves. You know, you could say Luke Shaw, probably more. There's certain players that just get it for whatever reason. And when I was in the away section, we were at Fulham, and people start slating Lukaku. That's when I kind of started drinking some Lukaku haterade. For whatever, I think that got to me.
They were serving it, dude. They were serving it out.
I was pro Lukaku before then, and then now I kind of hung out with the away support. And then I've been kind of Lukaku haterade since. So, look, I got to walk this back. He stepped up. He looks like Lukaku of old. He looks hungry. Does. Maybe that slump got something going in Big Luke, training, you know, finishing.
New
He's
manager.
Hungry.
Remember, it's a tale of two halves, bro.
He wants to prove
two different seasons, basically, in 1 year. And we're not even done with it. We just started in March because Mourinho to OGS, bro, is like night and day. Completely different. So you have to write off everyone's first half, you know, because everyone had a bunch of rocky first halves because we sucked. And now we're flying, you know, best team in form since Ole's been appointed.
Well, like, Ole got appointed, rates Rashford, starts playing him in number nine. Rashford starts coming off. Lukaku's on the bench. And look, I think part of it is Lukaku had to sit on that bench, think about it, come back in and want to be hungry for scoring these goals. And look, he's trying to make Ole make a difficult decision, right? Whenever Martial's back, he wants it to be a difficult decision. Ole said,
and he's making it that
when
way.
When I got playing time, I was always a super sub. When I got playing time, I wanted to prove the manager wrong because that is what motivated me. Maybe Lukaku needed that bench.
Maybe.
You know, look, hey, I take back the Lukaku haterade because I'm drinking.
Because he won this game. He had a great game, dude.
He stepped up. He looks like the Lukaku of old. And look, he looks like that. He's going to put those goals away on his right foot.
He ain't going nowhere, bro.
He's welcome at Manchester United. And I'm sure Ole likes to get that out of him, right? He did kind of send out the tea leaves that he didn't rate Lukaku, but
well, the media certainly did because based on he wasn't getting the minutes, and you know what? He had to give Lukaku a chance to step up. Look, Sanchez and Lukaku both got chances to step up with injuries, and one took it, one didn't. One got injured, which you know is not great, but I think it was going that way either way because he's been the better player of the two, and he needs to step up even more, bro, because we got a lot of injuries and we got a big game coming up on Wednesday, and we're still in it. You know?
Yeah, and that's what Manchester United is about, right? It's not about what money you came on. It's about
what do?
Can you perform. And Big Luke's performing, so I'm going to eat those words from the last podcast. All those Lukaku fans out there, I'm just like eating all those words. They taste terrible. Oh, it's tough. The podcast business is tough. Sir. 90th minute, a little more controversy here. Armstrong pulls Rashford down in the box, kind of a lace chance. Rashford really put in the effort late here. Pogba I was like, he's got to give it to Lukaku for the hattie, right? You said the same thing. I was like, Pogba's got to learn how to give up the pens. But again, Pogba is a little selfish, known to be a little selfish around these parts. Especially
many great
with
players
goals
are.
In. He should be, right? He wants, I mean, that would have been, he's in the teens, sir.
He wants a balloon, bro. He wants that balloon.
So Pogba steps up, cheeky run up, and drills it right down the middle. Keeper saves. Pogba misses another pen.
Saves with his foot.
Been a few this season. Gets a lot of stick for that run up.
He's missed three. So he's gone 5 of 8. But Solskjaer said after this, he said he's got to look on to the next one because he's still going to be taking the penalties moving forward. But I would have given it to Lukaku, bro. I think that's the class move. The guys, we haven't had a hat trick at Manchester United since 2012, RVP. And he's on a hat trick. He won the game. And we got a penalty in the 90th minute. That's universe saying, let the guy get a hat trick. It's good for the ego, good for the team's ego. He needed a big performance for him down in Paris coming up on Wednesday.
I think that might say something about his relationship with Lukaku.
It might.
Maybe we're looking into this too much because we don't know nothing. But maybe Ole's like, Pogba's a penalty taker. Don't mess around. I'm sure there's still, I've never played professional football. I'm sure there's still some courtesy where Pogba can give it to Lukaku.
I'd love to ask
like
the fans. You know, if you get some fan engagement, let us know. Fans of the pod that have been involved in the game even closer down to that level. I would imagine it's like proper conduct that you let the guy who's on
especially
the hat trick.
If he's being talked about as being the next captain of United, because that is a gesture that should
move.
Be. You got to feed Luke.
He won the game.
You got to feed Luke.
I think just because Luke. He won the game and he was on the hat trick.
Either way, if you take it, you can't miss. And if he doesn't miss, we're not talking about it.
Fortunately, it didn't mean nothing because we won the game. 3 points.
Yeah. Well, one point of note in stoppage time: Chong came on for Rashford to make his Premier League debut. So. Claps up to Chong. He looks great. I rate him. I think he would have got more playing time, but some of these games have been a little too tight. We haven't been able to get those attacking youngsters in.
Well, the defense is real. It's still shaky, bro. Yeah.
So let's talk about it. Match reaction stats-wise. Possession, United 64% of the ball. At home, that ain't bad. Southampton 36% of the ball. Shots on target, United 6 to Southampton's 3. I think we dominated across the board, but again, Southampton with some moments of brilliance, sir. Some nice strikes from Ward-Prowse. So, you know, you look at the stats, you think we would have beat them even by more. But
you would have thought, but, you know, players love to step up against Manchester United, whether they're old academy players or just players.
Relegation fight, too.
And
right?
They're in relegation fight, and they're just, you know, trying to make a name for themselves. But two, like, moments of brilliance in the first half and second half, but glad we gritted it out, got the win, because these are the wins that really, really
game
are important,
season.
Bro. You got to beat the 16th place team at home when everyone else is dropping points, because a lot of people drop points this weekend.
Game of the season, sir. If we get top,
they're all game of the season.
We get
bro.
Top four, we look back on it, we say that game is where top four was won. That's where top four was won.
How about Arsenal next weekend? That's pretty good. That's pretty big, too.
Sir, I am not sweating one bit about
Rio
the
isn't.
Gunners.
I'll tell you what, Rio Ferdinand is not worried because you know what? Ole's at the wheel, baby.
How good does it feel? Manchester United have come from behind to win 9 Premier League matches against Southampton, sir. That's why I wasn't sweating at all. Outright record in the competition. So Southampton, we got their number. Southampton are the first away team to score 2 goals from outside the box in a Premier League game at Old Trafford since Manchester City in September 2009. I mean, they're up there. Southampton, I don't think they're going anywhere in the EPL, sir. Your boy.
And my boy, United striker Romelu Lukaku has been involved in 11 goals in his last 11 Premier League appearances against Southampton. So 9 goals, 2 assists. Everyone says he just bludgeons the lowly teams, but hey, you need to beat the lowly teams, bro. Those are the games that you need to win. Everyone gets up for the big matches against Arsenal, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, but you gotta batter the Southamptons and the Palaces, and that's why you need a Romelu Lukaku, bro, who's going to bang in those goals.
There's no easy game in the EPL. Liverpool, you know, they tied Everton away. You
sir,
know,
speaking like, of my boy, yeah, bro, let me get yeah. Jersey. And Andres Pereira became the first Brazilian to score and assist in a Premier League game for Manchester United since Anderson. Anderson Cheeseburger in May
yeah, you're
2011.
Anderson, sure. Yeah, your favorite jersey,
oh,
sir.
Oh, dude, great jersey. Champions League winner versus Blackpool in May 2011. So it's been a minute, sir.
Has been a minute, but sir, what do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Is that possibly the most special win you've had so far since coming back, given the manner of it?
Yeah, the manner of it is like the old days. Like, I've been part of that so many times myself. And so pleased for the boys that they managed to claw 3 points out of this game. Because we spoke about it at halftime. just get some more urgency, get ball in the box, play more forward, and the Stretford end will suck that ball in for you. Don't want to take it too much away from Andreas and Romelu because they were great finishes, but we felt that that support is, that's just part of this club and the history. We've done it so many times before.
Quite the contrast seeing Pereira today compared to the Burnley game, for example. How do you describe his development since then?
So pleased for him, so happy for him, because he's gone through the academy. We know what he's capable of. He's got loads of energy and drive, and maybe we found a better position for him than as a number six. He's more of an eight or a ten going forward. He's got high energy. He's got quality in his both passing, crossing, and shooting. So pleased for him. Goal and an assist. It's a nice day for him to remember.
Your celebration of his goal was a bit more than what we're used to seeing. Was it special in that sense?
Of course, because young kids at the start of their careers, when they get criticism, there's nothing better than seeing them grabbing a chance when they get it.
Sir, the Stretford end will just suck the ball in for you. What a great quote from the manager. And when he's telling the boys that, he knows the history of this club. He bleeds red, as we all do.
We all bleed red. Well, we follow this club, but he certainly sounds like a Manchester United manager of old. I mean, he fits the bill so well. They'd be crazy not to appoint him. I think they have secretly, behind the scenes. But he just knows what people want to hear. He knows what's important to this club, what built this club back in the day, and why it's the most famous club in football. So, sounds like my manager, bro. What a great guy.
Sir, let's check in with Andres Pereira.
Probably your best day in a United shirt.
Yeah, it's for sure my best day. My first Premier League goal after like a difficult game that was coming ahead, and so I'm very, very happy.
Have you ever seen a game with so many spectacular goals in it?
Yeah, it was a lot of beautiful goals. I think a difficult day for the goalkeepers today.
Tell us about your goal, because you had a bit of time to think about it and you put it in the top corner.
When I received the ball, I saw Luke coming on my left, and I thought I would give him the ball, but it was so nicely on my right. And I practiced in training, a day before with Granty, and he gave me a lot of confidence. I put four in the top corner yesterday, so today I had a good feeling and I went for it.
So you practiced from that sort of range at training?
Yeah, exactly the same range, yeah.
And then you set one up for Lukaku as well. It was an amazing turnaround in the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very good for us, and a very good finish from Rom. Very, very happy with the 3 points.
Dude, his boy Granty hooking him up on the training field. Pereira, I mean, you can't see the interview, but he's so trying so hard not to smile because he's so happy. I mean, so pumped for the young lad. Amazing win, amazing strike, and breakthrough performance.
No, the audio won't do justice, but he's just gleaming. He looks like you feel so happy for him because he had an unbelievable match, goal and an assist for his academy club that he's been trying to break through for years. So you can't feel but happy for the guy, and you're excited for us because you're like, we unlocked this new token, bro. That we like, this guy, this new player that we can play him up front, and he's gonna offer a little creativity that the team's been lacking. And a Brazilian, bro, at that.
Hey, when you have injuries, you need the youngsters to step up. And they're seizing the opportunity. Sir, I am ready. Give us your Daily Mail headlines tomorrow, today. What do we got?
Sir, I'll start with this. Big Rom is a big-time player. That's right, fellas and ladies. Lukaku shook off a tough first half and scored two go-ahead goals in one game to show his class and usefulness to Ole, bro. He is not going anywhere. He's a Premier League goal scorer. I think he just tied Ian Wright. He's going to just keep chipping up that list. And he's a big-time player when you need him.
Sir, the double brace. The brace.
Back to backs.
Lukaku, give him two braces. Ed's dead, sir. Give us your next headline.
Next one. You teased it, sir. Ed's dead if De Gea don't sign the ting, bro. And that is true. Dave wants to stay at United and cement his United legacy. If this does not happen, it's down to one man and one man only, and that's Ed Woodward. Because there's been a lot of noise now, right? We were close. Asian pictures. Everyone's talking about good stuff. But like you said, you mentioned in the last pod, there is talk, chatter coming out of the Woodward United camp that they want too much. He wants
Ed's
too much.
Dead.
Ed's dead, bro. He's got the way.
Do the deal. Do the deal, Ed.
You're going to have to get rid of him, bro. You're up for the sack.
I think he's going to pay the man. They'll come to terms. Just posturing. They'll announce it.
Signed a thing.
End of the season. Sir, next headline.
Last but not least, United Academy continues to flex. First, we relied on McTominay. Now Piera, one academy player after another, continues to step up for our injury-ravaged team under Ole. And that's the amazing thing about an academy with such depth and such a versatility of players that, like, you lose Herrera, you have someone to fill in. You lose Matic, you have someone to fill in. You lose Lingard, you have someone to fill in. And Ole relying on that successfully, the players stepping up, not to mention Pogba and Rashford continue to do a job. Can't wait to have Lingard back. So United is a special club for this reason, and it's a big part of why we've been able to keep winning.
And this is the model, right? This is the model for future football. You bring academy players through, you loan them out. I mean, Chelsea has kind of hijacked this a little bit and done a lot of loans, and then they have so much turnover at the managerial role that the manager comes in and just buys new players, and so that no one
never
really
play.
Breaks
academy
through.
Academy players ever play, yeah.
Right, and so we're so hungry for a consistent manager. I don't know where we're going to find one. I think we've already found them, but someone who can bring these youngsters through and have them shine for this club is such a sustainable model, because Pereira goes, plays for Valencia for a season, comes back. Now he's breaking through the second half of our season. We need him. Injuries. I mean, this is exactly what we should be doing going forward, signing young players like Chong. I remember LVG gets credit for Chong.
He does.
If he comes good,
it's going to be because of Van Gaal's army.
Thank God that's over. Sir, let's jump in the Twitterverse. We got a lot going on here. We have a poll. We sent out a Twitter poll at USA Red Devils. Who was your man of the match? We had Big Luke and Pereira, and with 74% of the vote, Big Luke is the man of the match for the American Red Devils. Pereira coming at 26% of the vote. He would have got my vote because he's the youngster coming in, right? First Premier League start in a long time. Gets a goal and an assist, and those were the first two goals that got us the lead. They were within 10 minutes, I think, the youngster man of the match. Lukaku got the winner, though. Probably puts him over the top with the fans. Sir, what do you think?
No, I agree. He's going to go either way, bro. It's good options. Piera,
if it's 2-1,
turns the tide, right? Turns the tide, yeah. Get that first goal, which gives everyone confidence. But Big Luke, for me, it's the two go-ahead goals. And the second one being the 80th minute and, like, with giving a lot to do outside the box, bro. Forgot this stat. First time he scored outside the box since playing for Everton in 2016. So that's a big ask for him. And he finally did it, and he did it to win the game. So that's my man of the match. And then, right, I think third place might be DeLow, bro, coming in for his cameo for the last 40 minutes and putting in the show.
I'm waiting for that Paul Pogba outside the box banger.
It's coming.
I'm waiting on it.
No,
it's
PSG.
Been a while.
Can't be PSG, damn.
It's been a while. It may be Arsenal. I could use three of those, Paul P. We need some Juventus-esque highlights. Let's jump into the tweets here, sir. We got some gems at United's update. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is unbeaten in 12 Premier League games as United manager. Unreal. Hashtag MUFC. I mean, something I think this top four run, the form the club's been in, it's almost like we're so in the moment with this race and this competition that we're in with Champions League and top four and all these big matches last month. We haven't really taken a step back and, like, looked at the fact that we've been struggling for 6 years with top managerial talent. Fire Mourinho, team is in the gutter. And we just call up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the Shire.
Molde.
And
get the private jet.
Comes in and just changes the entire ethos of the current Manchester United club, right? It's like this club was gutted. The fans don't believe in the ownership. They don't believe in the manager. They don't believe in the players. Some of them were being questioned, you know, pretty hard. Yep. You know, Paul P as well. Like, there's a lot of slating of Pogba going on under Mourinho. And then everything changes. The player's attitude changes. The form changes. You know, the feeling around the club. I mean, us going to the Fulham away on the streak, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
That,
I mean, we felt the energy of the
PSG,
fans.
PSG, sir.
It's
even
been years.
Even with a loss, sir. Being a vicious blaze, that was so epic. And this is why appointing a manager is more of an art than a science. You know, there are certain coaches that seem like, oh, LVG, he won all this stuff. He, like, you know, he's good with youth. He'll come in and do great. But it's about, like, how he fits in with the club, their history, their unique DNA, makeup, right? Manchester United is the biggest club in the world. They're the most successful club in English football. But we're also, like, a unique club because of our fan base, because we're in the north, we're not in London. You know, the history we have here. So you need someone that's going to, like, you know, be respected, like a former player would, know what they want, the fans need to hear, right? Kind of like follow in the footsteps of a Fergie, of a Matt Busby. And he's doing all that, bro. He's saying all the right things. He's blooding youth.
And that's always worked for every manager that comes to United. Every manager that comes to United that buys into the club's tradition and ethos does well.
Because it's a winning, right? It's a winning tradition, and it's exactly. a successful model, baby, bro. It's like entertain your fans, play attacking football, and play youth, and that's basically the three pillars of Manchester United, and those work.
Yeah, and look, Rio Ferdinand, he was quoted, he, Solskjaer, has changed the whole perception of the football club. It feels like Manchester United again. And
he's right.
This is the intangible. It's like Santa Claus, you know? I mean, like, Santa Claus, Easter unfortunately, buddy. For anyone listening, is not real. But it's almost like when Manchester United is in this form again, it's almost like it's like magical.
Like,
it's
you knew we were going to score.
There's a feeling.
You knew we were going to score.
There's a feeling around the club. Like,
it's
all
magic,
the fans
bro.
Have the
Theater
feeling.
Of dreams,
like, we
bro.
Know
it
we can come
like
back.
It
felt like the United of old, right? Santa Claus is real again. He's back from the dead.
His name's Ole. He's from
and
Norway.
To have that transformation while we're recording this podcast in a season, I mean, every one of you guys out there listening that have been through the downs and the ups of this season, I mean, it's a hell of a ride. It's heavy
listen
on the
to
heart.
Listen to the wedding podcast.
Like, I mean, the
that
wedding,
was a tough one.
I got married.
That's when they should have fired him, was yeah. basically the wedding.
Yeah, the day when I got married, we're watching, getting up early, watching United, like, lose.
West Ham, it was terrible. We had to do a pod.
Doing
it was
a pod.
Like,
that, yeah, and then, you know, well, hey, that's why... It's always darkest before the dawn. It was said on this pod, sir.
We didn't think we'd be this right. I mean, the dawn has been the brightest we could have imagined.
Breath of fresh air.
What did you say? Better luck.
Say.
I mean, did you add that? Because that's brilliant.
No,
but
yeah.
It's true, bro.
So for Ed Woodward, I mean, in business, like, you know, we've seen the best of them all try and fail. And you don't know why. But again, Eddie, I'm just going to tell you, it's better to be lucky than smart. Eddie tried to be real smart with all these transfers, smart with all these managers.
Mourinho.
And he just called up this hobbit and got lucky. And this, I mean, this is everything for the club. You know, it's $4.2 billion valuation. And Ole's at the wheel. What is the deal? Ole's going to
make top four, bro.
He's going to be like.
Ain't no 1 year deal, bro. Ain't no 1 year deal. I'll tell you that. Like,
no.
4 or 5 years.
I bet you it's 3 year deal. What do you think? How
4 or 5.
I say, no, 10.
10-year deals?
No,
10 million?
No, 10 million a year for 3 years.
That's a good deal.
I think he'll probably get 8.
They're going to make top.
He'll probably get 8, but they're not going to pay him like 20.
No, of course they shouldn't.
They're not going to pay him Mourinho, but
they shouldn't pay him 4. They should pay him like a solid like 8.
Dude, he will make more than he did at Molde.
I think. I think his kitty will. Hopefully his kitty isn't the same size as Molde's.
Sir. Our next tweet from at Tahith C. What a game. Great team spirit. Proud to make my Premier League debut. Shout out to Chong. I rate him. I rate Chong. Can't wait for him to break through. I think he's the next Rashford. I will see him on the right wing for years to come. But we probably need one player coming in before he's ready. He's got to be 20, 21,
him and Sancho,
22.
Bro. Him and Sancho
he'll be ready.
All these guys will be getting along together.
Exactly.
Academy lads, English lads. And he's got a future. I agree with you, bro. He's got a great... cross,
no,
he's
Chong's
tricky,
Dutch.
He's got good size. No, I know that, but like between the English youngsters that we got, they all get along, bro. They
yeah,
all dad, you know,
yeah,
they all
yeah.
do like the young kid stuff, whatever that is these days when you're 20, you know, like the
commonalities
or yeah, whatever they do, 20 years and younger people. But I'd love to see that competition, and he is definitely going to have a role to play in the games to come.
Next tweet at United Report, hashtag MUFC are ready to play, pay. And this is part of our campaign, sir, on this podcast. The biggest transfer fee ever paid by a Premier League club, £100 million plus for Jadon Sancho this summer. PSG also interested per the Mirror, sir. I mean.
Went up by 30, bro. It went up by 30 since last time we reported.
Hashtag Woodward 350. It's looking like not net, but just like splashing the cash.
We got to
make
spend.
It rain. 350. Kalidou Koulibaly, 90 million.
Sancho,
110. And then you're up there. You can get there. Two more players.
Get a Wan-Bissaka and then maybe attacking mid, and I think you're good.
But I'm just pumped that Ole is going to get to spend the cash. And United are posturing. They're posturing in the papers to spend big, and they will. And hopefully it will come early and often. Next tweet at United Extra. Paul Pogba is set to replace Antonio Valencia as Manchester United's next permanent captain. Hashtag MUFC. This is per Neil Custis. Sir, what are your thoughts on Paul Pogba as permanent captain? He did get slated by Mourinho, said he'll never be the captain ever again. Ironic. Now he's being floated. I think this will probably be announced when Antonio retires at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, who cares what Mourinho thinks? I think it makes sense, bro. I think he's a big-time player. You know, he's the only World Cup winner on the team and has stepped up in a major way and just like an integral part of how this team clicks. So him, Herrera, Valencia, not Valencia, De Gea, they'd all be good options. So if it's Pogba... I don't think we can lose. I think that's a good position to be in.
I think it's. I think De Gea would be the best captain. He silent leader,
Herrera.
Undeniably achieved a level in world football. It's like probably number one in his position. You know, he always bails us out. He's always number one player, rated by the players for Manchester United. I think that is probably the captain. Pogba's probably more of a vocal leader. The issue with Pogba is I don't think that's a captain move when you take that penalty.
It's not a captain move, so you got to learn.
So that's the thing. Pogba's probably not mature enough for the captaincy of United because you need to be making those types of decisions, like the unselfish decisions for the betterment of the team. I do think behind closed doors he does do that.
But
that penalty, that was one that you had a bad question.
Look. That was a bad look. But this is an opportunity for him to step up as the captain. And I think that's what Ole might be doing. But giving him that position, dude, that's not a small thing in Manchester United to be the captain.
He's also the best player on the field. So
he is.
Might as well give it to him too.
No, but also just like maybe he can kind of step up into that mold and be a little bit more mature once he becomes captain. So I think he's given the opportunity to like, all right, bro, you're going to be full-time captain eventually. You
I don't
need
think
to be the
Pogba
guy.
Maturity or two.
Sorry, he's 25, 26.
Words
you know,
that are
going to
collide.
You can learn a lot from your mid-20s to your older 20s.
Look, we shall see, sir. We shall see. A lot to stay tuned to. I mean, hell of a season.
We got a game coming up,
sir. We
thick and fast, bro.
Sir, you hear that music?
Oh, it's growing.
Sounds pretty good. And like our manager said, mountains are there to be climbed, and boy, do we have a mountain to climb. PSG, that's right, PSG versus Manchester United at the Parc des Princes Paris, sir. Wednesday, March 6th, 12 p.m. Pacific. Great kickoff time, and there's a little caveat here. PSG beat us. Yes, they did. 2-0 when we played at Old Trafford, and of course, those goals are carrying over on aggregate, so we have a few. We have a high bar to meet here to qualify.
Only loss under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in 16 matches.
Unbelievable.
Under the new manager, which is ridiculous, right? But this is a huge game for us. You said it, bro. We were coming back from the gym today talking about this game. We've already lost it, right? Most people's mind. We lost it when we lost 2-0 at home. So there's nothing to lose. You just go out there and try and play, and I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink and say, "Just you got nothing to lose. If we lose 5-3.
Yeah, there's nothing to lose. Ole will go in, play full attacking side, and they will go at PSG. And I think he's going to, like, Pereira might be an option there, right? I mean,
no
like,
doubt.
I think he's going to play the youngsters, let them get the experience of a big game. Obviously, I think that's good to have under their belt. And we'll hope that we can win, pull something out of our hats. But again, I think that PSG defense, that's the one thing takeaway I saw when we played them at Old Trafford was their defense was very, very, very good. And I mean, it's going to be tough for us to score. I think it's going to be tough for us to score, right?
The big thing is, okay, so obviously we have two goals to make up. Pog was out because of the red card. They're missing two key players, Neymar and Cavani. I just want to mention this. But the one good thing is that we're going to have all these academy players that PSG know nothing about. So they're going to know nothing about McTominay.
No, it's kind of like
Piera.
A throwaway game. I mean, PSG famously choked, right, against Barcelona.
Away.
Like, even worse. I mean, they didn't choke at home, but look, the odds are stacked. We're going to play the youngsters, and, like, let's go for it. PSG,
nothing to lose, bro. Nothing
they're
to lose.
In form, though. PSG
in
have
form.
Won their last five league games since they played United, so they're in form even without those star players like you mentioned. They still got Mbappe. He can do one on you. And United have won 3 and tied against Liverpool, so not quite on the same form, but close. A little history about PSG. I didn't know this about them. They were formed on August 12th, 1970. I mean, they're
historic
brand new.
Club.
Historic club. Yeah, like, exactly. I mean, yeah. After an ambitious group of businessmen decided to create a major club in the French capital, they chose to merge Paris FC with Stade Saint-Germain. After the team from Saint-Germain-en-Laye, 15 kilometers west of Paris, won promotion to League Two. PSG went on to win promotion in their first season after they pumped some money in the club. However, the club's split in two in 1972. So just 2 years after they were founded, they split again and Paris FC, and now you have PSG. So, I mean, there's kind of like a weird history of French clubs kind of replicating, combining, and
it's a weird mashup,
again.
Which is why I wanted to kind of mention it.
No, it's actually pretty interesting. And then Qatar Sports Investment have been the club's owner since 2011. Yeah, if you don't know much about Qatar, you can Google how they bribed and got the World
Cup,
life, and they have
human,
like,
rights abuses.
Yeah, human rights abuses as far as modern day indentured servitude is concerned. Either way, it's tragic, and they're cheats. because they inflated sponsorship deals to invest more money in the club to get around financial fair play, which is why they've bought all these players. Again, City documents just came out in City's case. They're actually probably going to have a transfer ban. All these clubs that, you know, PSG has beaten Manchester United, they actually they cheated. UEFA haven't taken action, but the players on the field that are that good, that were bought with that basically money that was lied about.
Seventh
was,
highest earning club that didn't exist before 1970, bro. That's all you need to know. It's like they're not making that money legit through the gym.
No, they cooked the books. They basically
same thing City does, yeah, right? Exactly. Look at that. It's exact same thing City does. They basically just like all of their investment vehicles are their sponsors.
Yeah, and so for people who don't know that, the Qatar Investment Authority invests in companies who then they force to pay PSG outrageous, overly valued sponsorship deals so they can say the club is making money, and then they could then use that money to spend on Neymar or buy Mbappe.
Tried and true format,
right?
Sir. Tried and true.
City's going to be suspended. Also, they gave an illegal agent payment during the Sancho deal when they originally got him out of Watford. They're going to get dinged for that. So what's amazing is all these news stories dinging all these top clubs in Europe, and United are just like, at least one thing we've done is we just make a lot of money
way.
And we do it the old-fashioned way.
We had some debt.
There's something to be said about that. You know, as much as I hate Liverpool, they're doing it the old-fashioned way as well, and they're owned by American owners as well. So maybe the Americans are the ones not shading it up in Europe. So if there's anything we can say about American Red Devils podcast,
big up.
The American owners are
as
not.
As much as we hate
them,
we do slam the Glazers all the time.
Not doing borderline illegal stuff.
This.
Yeah, it's better than this. But if you need a reason to hate PSG, there's a few.
And their fans are rubbish. They like destroyed the stadium and made a big ruckus, but we saw them, they just. Trust me, they look like Chump City FC.
Dude, the one thing I will say, and you know me, if you listen to this pod, I hate the Adidas deal. And the Nike gear that PSG has with the Jumpman, I mean, the hoodies that say Paris
nice.
With the MJ Jumpman. Imagine like a Manchester hoodie with the A being the Jumpman for Nike. I mean, I'm just, you know, maybe I'm just a Nike guy, but the gear that they have for PSG fans is so much better than United. There might be like one hoodie United has that's like good, or that throwback jersey 1968 they've done, but I mean, is it really comparable?
Throwback sweater was pretty nice.
Dude, we had the best jerseys when Nike was our
Nike's
sponsor.
Nike's good,
man.
Dude. Nice. Adidas plays the bills, sir.
They pay the bills.
We'll save that for another pod. That's a whole other discussion. We should have that.
I mean, tweet us. Tweet us at USA Red Devils.
Who do you prefer?
I'll
do a poll, sir.
I'll do a poll. Nike
Umbro.
Or Adidas.
Or Umbro. I vote Umbro, bro.
City just did a big Puma deal. Wonder if that's cheating, too.
Nipples. Make nipples great again.
Hey, we have a Arsenal jerseys are tight.
The worst, bro.
Physioroom.com. We got some injuries, sir. We got a list. Sanchez out. No return date. You saw them knee go down. I'm not really worried about Sanchez coming back. The Spaniard, Herrera, I am worried about the hammy. No return either. Same with Jesse and Mata, all on hammies. It's a bad one when you got that hamstring because you don't know when you're ready to go.
Here's a good one, though.
Full speed, Matic, muscle injury. He should be back March 10th after PSG.
Arsenal
maybe
game.
For Arsenal. I think it'd be great to have Matic back. Phil Jones, illness. He could be ready for PSG, but I doubt it. And then Martial, groin strain. I'm hoping he makes it back to play in Paris. I know he's good for a few. And then Darmian, he has a knock. Maybe mid-March for Darmian. So that list, we didn't have a lot of injuries all year, and then all of a sudden, boom, explodes at the most critical time in race for top four.
Testing the manager, but he's stepping up, and it's allowing some fringe players like Lukaku get back in the fold and get his form back at a critical part of the season, sir.
Sir, what's your lineup?
So I got Dave Saves the Net. Who else? And I'm going to play back three. I'm going to have Young as a right back, Lindelof, Bailly, Smalling, and then Shaw. I think we're going to attack from defense, bro. That's going to be the ticket. And then I'm going to do a midfield two of McTominay, Piera, and a front three of Dalot, Rashford, Lukaku.
Interesting. Back three. Tactics, sir. I'm going to say De Gea, Young, Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw, back four, McTominay, Piera, Pogba. I mean, I can't have Pogba.
Pogba, bro.
Oh, it just came out of my mouth. Oh,
Fred! Don't forget Fred.
I know. It's good. How did I put Pogba in my lineup?
I don't know.
I'll swap him out for Fred. Martial, Rashford, Lukaku. I rate Martial coming
Fred.
Back.
Now Fred's going to score a banger just for you, sir.
Yeah, with no Paul Pogba. I mean, that's tough. Sir, you look at the bookies, all those injuries, Manchester United to win plus 513. That's right. You get five times your money for just a victory here. PSG to win minus 190 and the draw plus 370. I mean, I think a tenner on the plus 513 might be due for United to win.
For the win.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could throw like $20 on that. If they hit, you get 100. Easy money. United to advance, though. This is where the real money's at if you're feeling real frisky.
Real frisky.
Plus 1,400, sir. Everyone says there's no way we're going to advance.
I like that bet.
You know, if you had to look at it on out
for
of 10.
Out of tenor?
Out of 10 games, can you win
twice?
2-0 twice? Then that's that best. That bet
problem is
worth
with
it,
these
right?
injuries, maybe once. I think with these injuries is once.
Yeah, I think that's really the problem. But Martial could change the game. You never know.
Luke, bro. He's your man in form at the moment.
Yep. And United to advance and win the Champions League outright plus 12,000. So you're feeling really frisky. But the thing is, those odds will be slashed.
Yeah, of course, if they advance. Because then
we're a quarter of that if we advance. So if you're thinking that, I mean, these are just prop bets. You're just throwing some cash out.
Sir, speaking of prop bets, what do you got? What's your prediction?
Sir, I'm going to say United 2-1. PSG hang on. We score a goal in the first half. They look shaky, and they claw us back, and we actually get bounced out of the Champions League, but with dignity, which we didn't have last season against Seville.
So I take that bet, so you should take that 5-13, bro. I'm calling 4-2 United. We advance. Why not? Because I got
no
a podcast.
Doubt.
I have,
no
a,
doubt.
I have my own. We have our own podcast, so you can make these kind of predictions, sir.
No doubt.
If you're
sir.
Wrong, whatever. I got nothing to lose.
I know.
4-2.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to change that. We're actually going to put something on the line on these predictions next season.
I might have to.
Sir, United in the news. Manchester United to make £155 million. I mean, before we even read the article, summer I'm up a tree, already
double.
Here.
A lot of double
already
swoops. Here. You know about a lot of double swoops?
Double summer swoop. How many double summer swoops have happened ever? But
ever.
There's a lot of double summer swoop headlines for Benfica starlets Ruben Dias and João Felix. I mean, I rate João Felix. He looks young, kind of like the next Ronaldo, sort of. People have been comparing him. The 19-year-old winger. I mean, sir. What are we thinking?
Sir, I mean, I've heard, this is the first I've heard of Ruben Dias, center back, don't know nothing about him. While Felix, supposed to be very good, supposed to be like an attacking, like a Bernardo Silva, I think, like a similar kind of attacking midfielder vein. But he seems like one of those players that we'd never be able to get, that he'd always go to like Real Madrid, that seemed destined to go there. So, I don't know, I think we want Sancho, sir. I don't think João Felix is happening.
Yeah, I only think we're getting one of them, but again, this is what Woodward does. He puts out the smokescreen. So we might be in for João Felix. We might be in for Sancho. Who knows? And neither do Benfica or Borussia Dortmund. So that's how you this negotiating tactic.
True,
that's part
go.
Of the game. So when we read these headlines, some of them are just out there just
part
to create, you know, transfer
fodder. Promotion, bro. Eddie 350 cover.
Hashtag at Woodward 350. Next article, Solskjaer's promotional video hints at permanent Manchester United role. This is interesting here. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has revealed he filmed a promotion for next season's Manchester United season tickets and admitted it would be strange not to be made permanent manager having done so. So Ole kind of laying out some tea leaves for us here. I mean, clearly he could just not use it if he wasn't the manager, right? It's not like that big of a deal. He filmed the season ticket promo.
But they go out now. The promo is going out now to try and get people to re-sign for season tickets, which
yeah.
just happened.
Yeah, and so, I mean... Yeah, this is true. I mean, if it's gone out, then yeah. But I was watching Match of the Day, and they were talking about Ole at the wheel. Alan Shearer, I got on my FIFA Ultimate Team. Unbelievable. EPL legend. He said, look, it's all done. He
it
said,
has to be.
He
no,
said,
it
he, and look, I'm going to, you know, eat some more work.
So,
I'm gonna
so good. We're going to have to make this
so
its own section, sir.
It's so salty when you admit you're wrong on this podcast.
That's delicious.
Sir.
I'm sure the fans
but,
love it.
All the speculation, we were like, you and me were hooting and hollering about Woodward not announcing that Ole is the manager, and I am sure they're going to do some sort of big video, like, spectacular announcement. There's no way.
Piano or no piano?
It's gone to the so far to the point where it's done. He's the manager. He's involved in the transfer strategy. It's all being talked about behind the scenes. Like, that is it. I bet you... They told Ole like a few games ago, like, look,
these
this
are two
is
of
it.
The most impressive wins were the Palace and Southampton wins.
So
and they're like not
only
great.
EPL manager to win eight straight away games. We've only lost once to PSG when we had two injuries in the first half. I mean, like, it's unbelievable.
Unbeaten the league in 12 games. I mean, he's been class.
Dude, we have our arms tied behind our back, and we're, like, murking up the table, going to be third.
Just headbutting people.
It's unbelievable how, like, it's just what he's done to this club, the youth, the attitude. I mean, everyone's believing again. And look, he's our manager. I have no doubt in my mind that we don't need to have these is only going to be the manager conversations anymore. We don't need to hoot and holler at why Ed Woodward hasn't announced it. It's done. It's behind closed doors. Maybe the contract has not been signed, but it is like
it's on rails.
It's a lot.
It's happening.
They can't change it at this point.
And they'd be dumb too because this club is playing. The whole sentiment's changed. United's back, right? It washed away all of the last 6 years with a sleight of hand in a month,
all
2 months, bro.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't matter anymore. United are back. People are talking about them in a positive way. Just the stuff that's coming out of NBC Sports today, dude. Pro, like, straight up fake news propaganda. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Boosted up all night. It's great.
I know. It's unbelievable.
And we wouldn't get
that
kind of coverage in Mourinho ever, bro.
There's a new interview on NBC Sports with...
Drop today.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Definitely check it out. It's a great interview. Talks about how he came in. I mean, I don't think he's doing this PR if he's not going to be the manager at Manchester United either. Next article, Antonio Valencia set for exit after 10 years old. Trafford, I saw a lot of murmurs of this on social media. Everyone kind of saying farewell. Clearly, this is his last season. I mean, like, did you hear anything else? What is any tangibility to this?
Well, I think they had the option to renew his contract, and that expired, I believe, last week. So they didn't want to give him another contract. I hope Valencia retires as a Manchester United player. He has played here for 10 years. Won the league under Fergie a couple times, so he's been a great player. Wasn't
he
a great seven.
I mean, like, I don't mind players going on to play at other teams. In American sports, is probably people think of it like if you play like Peyton Manning going to play for the Broncos, winning a Super Bowl. You know, people think of it like being a traitor. More here in football, it's just like he'll go play for someplace, Ecuador. He'll go play somewhere. But you know, like I like how Evra, he left. I think Evra left too early, but he went on to Juventus. Like, you know, got to play for another team, but he still loves United. Same with Berbatov. Like, a lot of these players go play on, but the one team that they're on social media talking about all the time is Manchester United. They'll always be a United
ain't
player.
Talking about Leon, bro.
Exactly. So Valencia, I mean, great player. I mean, the captain. So, you know, it'd be sad to see him go, but it is probably time for him to move on. Solskjaer, next article. Solskjaer fears Sanchez ligament damage. I mean, this is a bummer. The Sanchez story, just glass half empty there, sir. Any news you want to shed on that?
We have not heard anything out of any of the camps about how bad the injury is.
You've done your knee.
It's not a fun one, bro, especially when you're his age. He was probably my age, actually, 30, 31 when I got my knee done. It's tough to come back from. I mean, he's probably in a better position, too, because he's just generally yoked. So that will help with recovery. But I think it doesn't look good for Sanchez, bro. He didn't look good that game before the injury. And then after, and I just like, it doesn't look, tea leaves don't look good for his future at United.
Not at all, sir. I mean, like, you weren't quite playing EPL. I think it was just, like, a defensive challenge. You clattered into a gentleman. How'd you do your knee?
Turf knee. I was definitely not, like, pulling Sanchez moves. But soccer, you know, it's easy to do the knees.
Yeah, no, that was tough when you were in crutches for a little while. Sir, we got a new segment this week. Tell me about it.
Sir, this is the new segment. We're going to go back. Not going to go back. We're going to look at what is grinding John's gears this week. John, what's grinding your gears this week?
Yeah, so if you listen to this pod, you probably realize it's certain things like Adidas versus Nike grind my gears. And I definitely got a lot of plights, so, you know, I'm always down to switch it up. And this week, what grinds my gears, and actually you brought this up, sir, so this is kind of like I'm the one whining, but you were the one to call it out. Is EPL highlights without all the goals. And so this one's looking at you, NBC Sports. You came into the United States. You did great coverage. I mean, I know a lot of American Red Devils watch and are fans of NBC. But when they show highlights of the Manchester United game and they don't show, they literally start at 2-2 and they show the Lukaku winner. They don't show
the bangers.
They skip the Pereira banger. They skip Ward-Prowse. I'm going to call that out. You got to put that goal. You got to put all those goals in there. So for those goals not to make the cut in the highlight reel, I find kind of interesting. They got to step up their game there. And then we were watching the extended highlights. Didn't even show Sanchez get injured.
I know.
I mean, there's a lot of things.
Or the penalty.
NBC's doing a lot of things where they're trying to like Americanize the highlights when all we want is just the footage of the game, the storyline. Sanchez injury is a big storyline. Those, the four goals before the winner, those are big storylines. So again, NBC, you can do better, and you can drop the NBC Sports Gold thing. I know Reddit soccer streams is down. The stream game is tough out there for us.
Wednesday was tough.
If you're looking for a stream, go to Reddit.com/r/Red Devils, usually in the match day thread or the match thread. You can get a stream out of there. Usually it's TSN or Canada.
Or now Red Soccer is now the new, I believe, Reddit substream.
Yeah. And so essentially they give you like a TSN stream, which you get the European commentary, which is what I rate the most out of anything. But again, NBC, you have a ways to go. And NBC Sports Gold is one of them, too. So I guess got to kind of complain. That's my complaint.
So that's what grinds John's gears this week. We're going to have it as a regular feature because we've got plenty
of
items.
So I can complain.
I can
complain.
Half the pod could be you complaining about stuff.
I can just complain for an hour.
But we don't have time for that. We've got time for fan questions.
Let's jump in. So positive news. Glass is half full. Fan questions. This comes from @WhiteLando on Twitter. If the season ended today, Ole or Poch, and what five players do you cut, sir? To be fair, this is from Aaron on Twitter, and this was from last week, but I felt it was relevant today. Ole or Poch? I mean, we've seen Poch fall from grace. What are your thoughts?
Sir, Ole, bro. You needed time to make the decision, and all it did was cement the decision that Ole's the guy for the job. He's changed the club, changed the mood. The players are all up for it. They're signing new deals. It's obviously got to be Ole, man. He looks just like a natural bone killer. He was an assassin off the bench, and now he's a cold-blooded killer as a manager. He's got like the Fergie mold, and he's 45. He's got plenty of life in him. He's your man, bro. Five players to cut.
Captain of the hype train, right here.
Number one, choo-choo, bro. I got the captain hat on.
Choo-choo.
First player has got to be Phil Jones. Phil Jones.
You just resigned him, so that's unrealistic. But yeah, maybe I'll give you that. You got to get to five.
Phil
so
Jones,
I'll give
Rojo.
You that.
Darmian, who else? I don't remember who else we have to cut at this point. Sir, Ashley Young, I think you probably need him. It makes sense for another
Valencia,
year.
Valencia, right.
Valencia counts as a fourth. And then Fosu Mensah, maybe you ship him, sell him to a lower league because he might not make it. I like Tuan Zabi. I rate him. Bring him into the fold for the Rojo and Jones cuts.
I mean, that's kind of a cop out, you know, when you're cutting a lot of the dead wood. All these
that's what we got to cut. Give me your five, sir.
You can't cut Phil Jones, who just signed a new deal. Right?
Well, you can't.
Like, I mean, that's a bad business move.
You're not going to cut him. You're going to sell him.
If you're Ed Woodward, you can't just like sign someone and cut
players, right?
I'm thinking like contracts as well, because like you have a Juan Mata whose contract's up. Do you re-sign? Do you let him go?
Like I re-sign him for a year.
I do agree with you on those core four. And you do have wiggle room with one, but to cut, I mean, maybe Lee Grant. I don't know. That's another
Who's
throw.
Your next?
That's a throw. I mean, like,
Lee Grant's a great third keeper, bro.
It depends on who we buy, right? So it's hard to get into this if you don't know who we buy.
If you buy
a right winger, Mata might be the player to move on because if
especially
you want to give. Yeah.
If Piera steps up like
I mean,
this.
He's only had one. One start.
Let's see what he does at PSG.
One start this year. But, you know, we're already cutting Mata and, like, bringing Pierre into the fold. That's how insane the hype train is. So sometimes, you know, we got to listen to these opinions. I thought about that Lukaku slating over the week, and I said, you know what? I got to eat those words. Sometimes you just got to come back and eat those words. And I shout out to Aaron for the question, and he did purchase our logo tee. And if you like the American Red Devils logo or you want to support us, we got some swag. It's available in our Sunfrog store. We got mugs, shirts. We'll be making some cheeky shirts in the offseason as well. Always at the wheel. That's got to be one of them.
Definitely.
Kicking a blue since 1776. The famous quote on our flag, sir, that'll be on there as well. So if you want to check that out,
and
you can
go scarves that are coming.
www.AmericanRedDevils.com, sir. And it's been a hell of a week in football. And in the podcast world, we really appreciate the downloads. We're going to give shout outs to the top 10 cities last 7 days.
And it's freedom heavy. I like to say freedom 9 out of 10 is freedom heavy. So
I like seeing those stars and stripes, sir, on the thread. We have number one, Los Angeles, California.
Number two, Chicago, Illinois.
Chirac.
Number three, New York, New York. Number four, Indianapolis, Indiana. What up, what up? Number five, dude, Shireton, OG, Oslo, stay in power. We appreciate it. You guys have been sticking in the top five since Ole's been appointed.
Ole's at the wheel.
Keep him a good wheel because you're the only non-American in the top 10, sir. Keep it going.
No, but we never saw Norway before Ole. Was
I know,
the manager,
but now they're here.
So
dude.
Now Ole's
tiny
the manager.
Tires, like, I know. They're,
well, welcome.
We appreciate it.
Welcome, Norway. Number six, our hometown, San Francisco, California.
They heard us.
Seven, McKinney, Texas. 8, Dallas, Texas. Number 9, Brooklyn, New York. At number 10, Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you for downloading this podcast. We know there's a lot of content out there in this crazy world, but the fact that you guys spend the time with us, we really do appreciate. And I get in touch with us. Give us your suggestions, your comments, your questions. We're trying to get the fans involved on the pod. As always, we featured match reactions from fan clubs around the United States and big matches as well. Our Twitter at USA Red Devils, website www.AmericanRedDevils, and you can email us to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. Sir, we have iTunes reviews. Tell them about the iTunes reviews. We're getting up there.
Guys, we've made some moves. We're up to 74, I believe. I think that's what we checked, and they are
5 stars.
All great reviews, and they're also just full of nuggets. Forget the stars. We appreciate the stars, but the content is amazing stuff. But we have
the
one more
banter
ask.
Is hot on the reviews.
We got to get to 104. The number one Manchester United podcast in the world has 104 reviews. We have 74. We need 30 more and then some. So please put in a 5-star review if you're a fan of the pod.
Yeah, if you listen, you like the pod, you like Manchester United.
If you like it, if you don't like it, if you like the banner, if you like to talk shit, let us know that as well.
Throw some hot banner out. On a review on iTunes. Maybe we'll get accepted.
Maybe we'll get accepted. We never know. It's hard to tell what they accept and they reject. But send in a photo. Either DM us on Twitter or send it to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. Let us know and we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, give us your address, of course. Send us a screenshot of the review and we'll get a sticker out to you in the mail. We send out like over 50 stickers. All those reviews have gotten stickers and we have 150 more fresh ones we've ordered today, sir. We got them on our water bottles and everything. Another way you can support us through Patreon. You can find our Patreon page on our website. It's a great way for you guys to directly support us. We're about to get to the point where we can sell ads, but we would like your direct support. And again, it's been a hell of a ride, sir. Unbelievable season. We appreciate all the support. It's been an amazing journey if you think about it. First half of the year, fire Mourinho, going to London, United away, PSG.
How good does it feel?
You know, doing the pods on my wedding day, sir. Your honeymoon, my honeymoon. We've been kind
of
all around the
seasons,
world,
bro.
Sir.
A tale of two seasons, and this game and this season's not over yet.
Sir, you're going to Montana. You're on vacation. We got remote pods.
More remote pods coming,
sir.
You get some pow.
Sometimes there's a delay on the conversation. The banter's not as hot when we're not in person. But, you know, we appreciate you guys working with us. We're trying to get as much content out there as possible.
Mo
when you're
better,
on the road.
Mo better, bro. And you know what? It's going to be a spicy pod after we win 4-2 down in Paris, sir.
Qualify and then Arsenal, sir. On to the Gunners.
No small games.
Ain't worried about nothing. As always, kicking the blue.
Kicking the blue.